This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Ooh, they not like us. Well, Kendrick going today? Sam Lubman, Stan Devone.
What did you think of Kendrick last week?
Oh, you beat me by 1 second. I was just about to ask you that same question. I actually liked it. I liked his halftime show. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. It was a little petty, you know, because obviously the whole thing was just Kendrick putting his beef with Drake. I don't know if he wants to put it to bed, but he definitely won that battle there after, you know, getting the entire Grammys to sing along with him and then getting the entire Super Bowl to sing, you know, drop the A minor with him. So that was a lot of fun to watch, too. You go back and rewatch it, you obviously see a bunch of stuff that you didn't really notice the first time and just the symbolism of it all. But I thought it was an entertaining show. Not the greatest, but it was good.
I didn't replay it. What did I miss?
Oh, well, it was just the way, first, the whole thing with Sam Jackson, his role there was just like playing the American game. So he's like, what we want you to do, we want you to be, you know, sing these songs and act this way. And Kendrick's whole thing is like, oh, I'm gonna do my thing. And the part with when SZA comes out and they start singing All the Stars Above, you know, it's very uniform, very simple, like, this is what America wants. And then you remember Kendrick, he kind of started teasing playing They Not Like Us, you know, it's like, oh, should I play it? And then they do the song and then he plays something else. Because the whole thing was that Drake was going to threaten a lawsuit if Kendrick actually sang the song at the Super Bowl. And obviously Kendrick just went ahead and did it. And then when he hit him with that, hey, Drake, and smiled at the camera, it's like, oh.
That's a lose-lose for Drake. What was he thinking? That's such an un-Drake move with the whole lawsuit. And
I mean, I don't know the whole story behind their beef, it goes back like 10 years, though.
Yeah, but still, the way he played it is just like, there's no way he was going to win that. That's just such an uncool move, I think, on the part of Drake. But
yeah. No, this little rap battle, this little beef they had, which, you know, they had the two diss tracks over the summer. I didn't even think I heard Drake's, just because Kendrick had just buried him. He just absolutely buried him. And then I guess Drake had an album come out on Friday. I don't know if anyone actually listened to it, though, but to be honest, I can't remember the last time Drake released something that I enjoyed. Like, his early stuff from, like, 08, 09, I kind of liked, but I haven't really... I'm not a huge Kendrick guy, but I just haven't been into Drake for a while, but...
Well, the Steph-Drake relationship is real, so...
Okay, yeah. Don't give a damn about no damn Drake night.
Yeah, there you go. So, anyways... You know much more about that stuff than I.
And I don't really know that much to begin with.
For 5 minutes, my head was swimming. Go ahead.
Yeah. I thought it was an entertaining show for the most part. You know, I just need my...
Not as good as LA the year before.
No. It was like, honestly, my Super Bowl halftime show, just like, make sure all like the technicalities work, like unlike the Black Eyed Peas that one year when like their mics were cutting out or something. But just like, just give me a funny moment. Just give me a good meme. If I can get a good meme or two from the halftime show, I'm pretty good there.
Janet Jackson back in the day?
Yeah. I have watched the last 20 Super Bowl halftime shows. You want to know what the last halftime show I missed was?
Which one?
It was Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson.
Really?
That's the last time I didn't watch a Super Bowl halftime show. So,
because Dad was covering your eyes?
Yeah, no, I think I was like, well, I was in fifth grade at the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was probably, 11, 12 years old. So I was only so into sports at the time. You know, I was more into baseball at that time, too.
Well, it's a sport.
So I was into baseball more than anything else. So the Super Bowl just didn't hit for me as much as it did at that time. Very quickly after that, though, it's like, no, I have a different attitude towards the Super Bowl and the football. And
you make a lot of references to Pops. Does your old man ever call into the show? Can we ever get him on board?
Yeah, he has, actually. Okay. Shasky and I did a special edition of Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys last year, and I got him to call in. And
oh, nice.
Is he actually
Bay Area?
He's actually texting me right now. I guess he's getting over he's a little under the weather here. But let's see. So I asked him, what's the best thing about the All-Star game? And he gave me his answers. Dad literally just texted me just right now. The best thing about the All-Star game for me was the introductions. You know, it made you just visualize just how good the teams were. So he likes to go and kind of see those introductions and see his players get mentioned there. Then his favorite All-Star moment, and I guess this is just for any game, was when Sean Taylor, RIP Sean T, Kane's legend, hitting the punter in one of the All-Star game or one of the Pro Bowls there. And so he always liked Sean Taylor for that because my dad, he grew up a Washington fan.
Mm.
So he was into Sean Taylor for that as well. So, so there you go. That's, you know, but yeah, no, dad is a big, big influence on my sports upbringing. So as
remember
I read
the
off text that he's giving me right now.
Remember that year that Shaquille O'Neal came out with a mask and he was rapping and he's going through the whole mime and the dance.
Yeah, with the Jabberwockies,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. I think it was a little overdone at that point. But yeah, the introductions really are part of all.
That's what's part. It's part of the theater of it.
Well, it gets, the theater and the entertainment, which is really sort of what's been. The problem with the NBA All-Star game is that the players don't give a rip. Mm-hmm. Which is fine, but what the players have to understand, and a lot of people think it goes hand in hand because they make so much money. Well, who do you think is providing all that money? It always comes down to the consumer. So don't turn your back on the people ever at any professional sport. Somebody's just got to talk to these guys. Listen, I know you don't want to do it, but don't bite the hand that feeds you. These unwashed masses, these people that you apparently don't care about, that's why you've got a fleet of private jets. That's why you have multiple homes in Mexico. Okay, so always cater to them. You can get pissed off at other players or coaches or management, or you can be Jimmy Butler and get into a feud with Pat Riley or ownership, but never, never show your middle finger to the fans.
Well, that's what this weekend's about. This weekend is about the fans. It's about giving the fans something to celebrate, enjoy, just see a lighter side of the games. And, you know, and as we get into this here, you know, Sam Lubman in with Dan Devone here on this Sunday afternoon, getting you ready for the NBA All-Star game, which will be the first game of which between Team Kenny and Team Chuck. That will be tipping off in about 2 hours and 9 minutes and 5 seconds, 4 seconds, 3 seconds. So we are getting closer to tip off there. I'm not expecting any fisticuffs in this one, though. This is not hockey. This is basketball. So my idea of a little rumble at the start of a game is probably not going to be implemented tonight.
I don't know. I made the prediction that Zach Edey could start something yesterday.
That would be who's Zach Edey versus LeBron. That would be a... I guess why does it have to be LeBron, too? I guess it could be KD or Steph. Or it probably wouldn't be Steph. That would not in his home field.
Oh, I'd like to see Zach Edey and LeBron
drop the gloves. We got to go. That's what everyone wants to take out the king. But 888-957-9570 is the number. We're talking about what we like about the All-Star game, what we don't like about it, what we can do to fix it. But right now, I want to talk about great All-Star moments or memories that you have. It could be the NBA All-Star game. It could be any other All-Star game there. So we are going to go the lines here. We're going to go to Dan in Berkeley. He has some thoughts about the face of the NBA as well. Dan, how are we doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. You guys are doing a great job as well.
Oh, thank you.
Very good show. Oh, no problem. You know, you guys are talking about how the face of the NBA, so and why Caitlin Clark is so popular. Well, right now you have grandparents and parents talking about Caitlin Clark to their kids. And like you were saying, how big your dad was a fan of Sean Taylor, that resonates with these kids. So now they're fans of Hannah Hidalgo or Juju Watkins at USC. Hannah Hidalgo's at Notre Dame. She's going to be the player of the year this year after Caitlin Clark was last year. So she's making millions of dollars.
What about Paige Buchers?
There you go.
Packers.
Connecticut. She's awesome too, man. I mean, that she was really the one who started it. She was like ahead of the game, and then everybody just kind of, you know, rode on her shoulders and was maybe a little bit more athletic, a little bit younger when they started. So now you got these phenoms in college, female girl basketball players who are getting paid millions of dollars. They're going to go to the NBA and make more money. They're super popular. And like Charles Barkley says, these guys are not role models, but these girls are. These girls are big role models.
No, you make a good point there, Dan, because, yeah, I mean, what Caitlin Clark's doing, rising to level that she is doing as a woman, it's just, it's not been seen at this kind of level before. And, yeah, she really is an inspiration for a lot of young girls to get involved in sports and just to get involved in anything. You know, like, you know, we live in a world where, you know, it's women can do anything these days. And being able to see someone like Caitlin Clark be that trailblazer, that is a great way to be a face of the league. We talk about how Steph Curry became a face of the league. It's because he was this little guy out there shooting these threes and beating guys twice his size. You know, that first NBA Finals he had where he takes out King James in his first trip to the NBA Finals, Steph's first trip to the NBA Finals, because remember that whole year, that whole season was about LeBron returning to Cleveland to bring a title back to the land like he always said he would do. And the Warriors disrupted that plan. And that went a long way into how Steph became the face of the league, the babyface assassin, you know, slaying the giant, so to speak. It was a sign that you could be a small guy and play basketball and still succeed. There's an inspiring factor there. So, yeah, it's a good call there, Dan.
Yeah, I think that when you think of Steph, and I always talk about this, there's nobody that's done it better than him in any sport. I think he's the most popular athlete, at least in my lifetime, that we've ever had. I put him, and I hate saying Muhammad Ali and him in the same breath, because rest assured, somebody will be online too going, what the hell are you talking about, Dan? But think about, is there another athlete in team sports that's as good as him, whether you put him in the top 10 in the Pantheon or top 15 or the top 5, but also in terms of being an ambassador, in terms of being the PR or the face or somebody that does it the right way, whether you're selling merch or whether you're selling the NBA as a concept, is I argue that there has never been a professional athlete in our lifetime like that of Steph Curry. That's A, as good as he is, and B, somebody that keeps his nose clean and does all the right things off the court. Michael Jordan was great, but there was the betting, and he had some warts on him.
Oh, if there was Twitter around for Michael Jordan, oh, the things we would have learned. No, yeah, that's right, because like, unless you're a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, what's one bad thing you could possibly say about Steph Curry? Or I don't know, maybe if you're a Houston Rockets fan, you don't like him either, but that's only because he absolutely wasted your teams. But like, as a person, like, it's like LeBron James, I think, we'll compare him to that. Like, what made it really hard to like LeBron at a time was just, he's just so full of himself. Which, I mean, when you're that good and that successful like he is, you're going to be. But
even he had the decision. Like, the decision, you don't see that in Steph's resume, right?
The way LeBron left Cleveland to go to Miami, dragging that city, embarrassing that fan base like he did publicly to make that decision. Yeah, that's a tough thing to kind of shoulder. That's a tough thing to do. And yeah, that gave you a reason to hate LeBron James. I didn't like LeBron when he was on the Heat.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You know, I thought it would be really cool if he had stayed in Cleveland and brought a title there naturally without leaving there and been a career player in Cleveland. Like, it's so crazy to think that the best player of this generation, you know, played for multiple teams. And then again, I mean, even Michael Jordan played for a different team, but no one really talks about those Wizards days. But yeah, it's an interesting fact. It's an interesting thought there. We're talking about, though, our favorite All-Star game moments. And it could be in any All-Star game, but I guess we'll start out with the NBA here of favorite All-Star game moments. And for me, there's two moments for me, Dan, that stick out, and they're both Steph-related. And the reason is, for years, I didn't really watch the NBA All-Star game because there's never any Warriors in it. I always got mad when Monte Ellis never got his All-Star nod that I always felt he deserved. Maybe in hindsight, he didn't. But I was so sick and tired of Monte being called the best player who's never been to an All-Star game. So, obviously, you know, when David Lee became an All-Star, that was a big deal just because it was like, it felt like a new era for the Warriors was dawning. But my first favorite Steph moment, it had to be the 2016 All-Star game when Steph was at the height of his powers there. And they're doing this little tribute to Kobe because it was going to be Kobe's last All-Star game. And they're doing this little tribute to Kobe at the end of the game. And they got the camera focused on Kobe. And all of a sudden, the camera wildly like pans to Steph because he just hit this half-court shot from the corner right next to the center line there to end the game and just completely upstage Kobe Bryant's final seconds on the All-Star court. And when he did that, it was like Steph's greatness. Like, Steph was already great. He just won an MVP. He had just won a title. He was en route to making more threes in an NBA season than anyone ever will. And that moment right there just seemed like Steph became, like, the dude. Like, this is Kobe's moment? No, this is Steph's moment. And I always love that moment from Steph there and at the end of that All-Star game.
You want to take a quick call and then I'll give you my memory?
Yeah, I'd love to hear from you because I know my guy Philmo Mike, who's on the line, he's got some all-star memories as well. Philmo Mike, the voice of the Morning Roast Open now. I don't know if you had a chance to wake up early enough to hear our new show open, Dan, but Philmo Mike is the one doing the voice there.
Is there any way we can... Cam, you got that? I'd love to hear it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you can pull that up, Cam, if you want to pull that up at some point. But let's talk to our guy Philmo first while Cam goes and finds that. Philmo, how are you doing today, my guy?
Oh, first of all, All-Star Weekend has been crazy. It's been a lot of events. Try to get to all the events that you can get to. It's been lit. But, yeah, man, I appreciate the Morning Roast. All love. Shout out to Cam, Dan Devon, and Monte definitely should have met an all-star. I don't know. Don't say he's looking back in retrospect. He should have made an all-star because he's very excited. That's the problem with the all-star game. You need to showcase players that's like that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If Monte didn't get an all-star, he should have been in a competition to showcase his skills. He would have looked great in one of them competitions where you got to run up and down, fast down the court. But anyway,
Good point.
One of my points was Orlando, I don't remember when this was, but I was a young kid. Magic Johnson had came back, from HIV.
That's right, yeah.
And for a weird reason, I thought that the Orlando Magic, and I think he won this in Orlando, but I thought the Orlando Magic was named after kind of like Magic Johnson in a weird. I don't know why I thought this when I was. You know how you just think something as you were a kid, and it's like, what the hell are you thinking? But that's what I thought when I was a kid. I'm like, oh, the Orlando Magic kind of like named after him, and he won the MVP. Also, when Kobe and Jordan was squaring off, and then 25 years ago, man, Vince Carter shut the whole league down with the dunk contest.
Yeah, he did.
He just did. And you feel me? And then what we need? We need one player. Maybe it's Anthony Edwards. You say, you know what? Forget all this nice boy stuff. Like, we could play hard. Like, how come we can't just see, like, y'all scrimmaging in the summer type ball? Like, y'all not even giving us that. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all not even giving us that. So it's like, can y'all just give a little bit? And you just need one player to say, you know what, I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to go for 70. I'm going to embarrass y'all.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Like, almost do what Sean Taylor did to that punter, but in the basketball term, really playing hard. So when you get that person to do that, and he starts getting a following and the trend, almost like wrestling, you become like a Stone Cold Steve Austin or The Rock, just going against the grain. Then there's going to be more people that's coming up behind him that's going to do that. You just need somebody like a Draymond Green that can really play basketball. Like, you know what? Or Jimmy Butler. I don't care, man. I'm going to go for City. Y'all don't want to play hard? I'm playing hard. I'm stealing the ball from you. I don't care about this nice buddy-buddy stuff. Sorry for rambling. Y'all have a great show, man. We salute.
Oh, appreciate you, Philmo. Thanks for calling in there. I agree with Philmo. It's just need someone to go in there and just be like, you know what? I'm going to make this game all about me. And guys will follow suit. So that's why I really kind of like how they're splitting these teams up here with the older stars, the international stars, and then the young guys there. Because if I'm on one of these young guy teams, whether, you know, I'm TJD or Stephon Castle, or if I'm Jalen Brunson, or if I'm Ant Edwards, like, I'm looking at tonight as a night to be like, you know what? There's a chapter of the NBA that's coming to a conclusion here. And there is no big time face ready to go in this next chapter. Like, why can't it be me? You know, so like, can we see someone used tonight as a jumping off point to where they're announcing to the rest of the NBA world, you know, it's my time now. You're like, I'm going to be that dude. You know, I think there's been moments in the past. I remember I forget what the year it was. Maybe it was 2013 or 2014 when Kyrie Irving won the All-Star Game MVP. And that was like the moment that I think made Kyrie into one of the big stars in the league. And it's why that he had a seat on the Cavs after LeBron came home, which of course obviously set Kyrie up to make that infamous shot at Oracle Arena a couple years later. And he's been a superstar ever since. So like, these moments can elevate players to that superstar level. Dan, I know you have a All-Star game.
Well,
memory.
No, you know, it's funny that Philmo mentioned that. The Magic Johnson, I hadn't even thought about that, but it was 1992, and so Magic Johnson shocks the world by disclosing in the beginning of the season, because he had to take these physicals, right, before the beginning of the season, you know, when you come back to camp, that he was HIV positive. And he was, you know, he was still very much at the top of his game. And not only did it shock the world from a sporting perspective, but obviously I think it evangelized and illuminated sort of, you know, HIV and AIDS, which at the time was, you know, was dominant in terms of our fear and our lack of knowledge.
He did not know that much about it back then. No.
And so he decides that he's going to retire from basketball. And you're trying to just take all this in, like, what the hell? Not only is he, you know, is he gonna die? Is what's going on here? And then
he was like, what, 31, 32 when this happened?
Yeah, he was still, you know, in his prime. And he doesn't play for three, so he doesn't play the entire season. He decides to come back, however, for the All-Star game. After not playing the entire season, people don't know, you know, what's gonna happen to Magic. He comes back for the All-Star game, and You're like, well, what version of Magic are we going to get? He hasn't played basketball. How's this going to work? Are they going to D him up? Are people even going to want to get close to him? And it was this moment of celebration. Not only that, he was amazing. And he was the legitimate MVP. And he was hitting these threes from like 30 feet, and the place was going nuts.
Cool.
I mean, that was certainly one that I hadn't even thought about till Fillmore jogged my memory.
And those are the emotional moments that you remember there that kind of hit hard as well. So, and I think that's what's great about these All-Star games is that they do kind of set up, you know, chances to have these great, incredible moments here. I remember a moment, I was really young when this happened. This is in baseball, but when they had Ted Williams come onto the field for the 1999 All-Star game, you know, seeing Teddy ball game at Fenway one more time, like, that was really cool. I always loved in the 07 All-Star game when they had Willie Mays come out of the center field gate to, you know, throw one last ball from center field, a la the catch. You know, we made that catch, but people don't talk about the throw he had right afterwards, getting the ball into the infield to prevent any of the runners from advancing from, you know, way out in the polo ground, some, you know, 4.3 miles away from home base.
Vic Woods.
It was a far throw. So seeing emotional moments like that, so that's always really cool. I'm kind of curious to see what legends are maybe honored tonight. What Warrior legends? Obviously, you know, we've lost some great ones. Nate Thurman, Al Addles have since passed. They did a great job honoring Run TMC with them being the coaches of the Rising Stars game, which I thought was really cool. So I'm excited to see how they honor the Warriors greats tonight, because, you know, when you are the host team, you know, the league should kind of fet you a little bit when you are hosting the All-Star game and kind of highlight your history a little bit. So we'll talk about that a little bit more on the other side. Plus, you know, maybe some other ways we can make All-Star weekend a little bit better. I got a couple ideas, Dan. I know you had your surprise entrance idea. I want to throw an idea at you that I think can make All-Star Saturday night very interesting as well. So we'll do that. We got some Draymond Green sound that we're going to be playing. We got some Kevin Durant sound that we're going to be playing at some point. And then, we are less than 2 hours away from tip-off of NBA All-Star. Got a few more segments coming at you. I am Sam Lubman. He's Dan Devone. Cam Williams is on the board. We'll be back with more. That is all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Hello, everyone. We are back, getting you ready for NBA All-Star Sunday night. You know, they really give us a name for what we're doing on the show. It's Sam Lubman. It's Dan Devone. You know, we're calling ourselves 95.7 The Game, but we're not really an NBA All-Star Game pregame show. It's not a Warriors show. We're just
chopping it up.
Just Sunday afternoons on the game. Scrub Sunday, as we used to call it, when Jim Cosmore and Whitey Gleason, Kevin Michael Whitey Gleason, as he likes to be known as, was doing shows there. But, we are getting ready for All-Star Sunday night. And when, obviously, the All-Star game's here, that means the TNT crew is here. And as obviously we've been talking about, you know, Shaq and Kenny and Ernie and Candace and all of them, but got to talk a bit about our favorite member of the Inside the NBA on TNT crew. That's Sir Charles Barkley. The round mound of rebound, as he was called back in the day.
Back at Auburn,
yep. And then, Charles Barkley, as we all know, he has a colorful history when it comes to talking about the city of San Francisco and the Bay Area as a whole. They opened up the NBA All-Star Weekend stuff, I think on Thursday night, And the first thing Chuck says, like, oh, all these homeless people smell. It's like, oh, great start, Chuck. And so, because, yeah, he has a beef here with the Warriors and with the city of San Francisco. Yesterday, though, on the TNT set, he talked about how he, I don't know if he wants to say had his eyes open, but he got to see firsthand just kind of what's being done in the city of San Francisco to combat the homeless issue here. And here's what he had to say about that.
Real quick, yesterday, no cameras around. I know we talked to Raymond Ritter, the fine PR man of the Golden State Warriors. Tell me about your morning real quick.
Well, I spent a day at a homeless shelter. The people were amazing. It's called Glide. And man, they worked so hard over there, and I want to give them a lot of love and some shine. And you know what? And not only that, I'm going to donate $250,000 to Glide.
Hi, bud.
Thanks for Raymond, but the people at Glide were awesome, so I'm going to donate $250,000 to Glide.
Chuckster,
yeah.
Chuckster, I appreciate you, and I appreciate you doing that with nobody around.
They never going to be cameras when I do stuff like that.
Nice job.
Thank you, brother. Time.
I like how you go from Chuck, you suck, to thank you, Chuck, within a 40-second clip there. But look at Charles Barkley kind of putting his money down and taking a minute to actually take things seriously there.
Remember the last time in 2022 when they went live? And it was before, after either a pre- or post-game show, and somebody threw something at Chuck, and it almost got ugly. I mean, in fact, I was doing a night show here at 95.7 The Game, and the guy that threw it called into the show, and that thing, that could have gone really bad. That could have been another sort of Malice in the Palace 2.0. But
can't throw stuff at people.
Yeah, I think that you nailed it. We were talking about this during the break. This is how Shaq makes his living.
Yeah.
This is what Shaq does.
Chuck.
He pushes the envelope. Right, he's all shtick. It's all about saying the things that no one else would say. And let's face it, the reputation of San Francisco has taken a hit over the last 10 years. The homeless issue is just that. It's something that, you know,
it's a real thing. Trying to downplay it here. Yeah, there is. There's a struggle with homelessness in this city, as there are in a lot of other cities.
And so that's where Shaq lives, and he loves to go into that area that other people just stay away from. Listen, it's not relegated to San Francisco. San Antonio, remember that? He called those big old women, them big old women down in San Antonio, eating them churros. Like, San Antonio went nuts after this guy. And he had to, you know, he said he wouldn't apologize to the women in San Antonio. And so this is why the guy is a multimillionaire, and this is what it is that he does.
And he knows how to...
He lives on that razor's edge.
And he knows how to play it very well. But he can take steps to be serious when he needs to. I think it was 2018. He got very vocal in the political scene. Remember, there was that huge special election down in Alabama. It was between Doug Jones and Roy Moore, whatever his name was.
Yeah.
And Chuck went hard on the campaign trail there, which I'd never seen him do before. I remember he's like simple, like, you know, hey, Alabama, let's show people that we aren't stupid. So Chuck, he'll step up when he needs to.
Well, Roy Moore was stupid, as I recall. Wasn't
well, yeah, I don't want to go too down that rabbit hole. I just want to say
didn't he have like some sort of illicit behavior or something?
Among others, yes. Yeah, okay, let's just Google it for those listening there. It wasn't pretty. But... No, I think with Chuck, it goes back to, for me, my opinion of how I look at the Chuck versus the Bay Area, it goes back to the 2007 We Believe run, where, excuse me there. Obviously, you know, the Warriors, they had a great matchup with the Mavericks that year. They went 4-0 against the Mavericks, and they're doing the whole, you know, who do you think's going to win each series? And Chuck's like, you know, oh, they'll win one game, and the Mavericks going to beat them up in the rest. And obviously the Warriors shocked the world by winning that first game in Dallas. And I'll always remember come back. I went to game 3 of that series. My dad took me to that one. And before the game, they showed Chuck on the big screen saying, oh, the Warriors, they're not going to beat the they're not going to beat the Mavericks. They're terrible. And then they have Thunder. Remember the old mascot Thunder? RIP, by the way. Shout out OKC for taking him away. They have Thunder come out of the Jumbotron and throw a pie in Chuck's face, and the crowd just loses it. They love it. And that's where Chuck became the ultimate Warrior villain, because, as we all remember, the Warriors beat the Mavericks there, and one of the greatest upsets in NBA history. So you kind of had to show some respect. And then fast forward down the line when the Warriors became a jump-shooting team, and what did Chuck famously say about jump-shooting teams? They can't win an NBA title. And he has just made so much money just being the guy who doubts the Warriors and just throws shade at the Warriors. And to be honest, Dan, I really like it. I love Charles Barkley as a Warriors villain. It has been a lot of fun, mainly because he's been wrong a lot, but also because he just plays the villain so well for the Warriors.
Yeah, I think that, especially in a world where we're so PC aware, and especially when it comes to the media, that somebody that is that candid and unfiltered, it's welcomed. And I know he can say some stuff to piss people off, but it's also refreshing because a lot of what it is that we get is just sort of canned. It's homogenous. Everybody else sounds like everyone else in this industry. And so it's welcome to a certain degree. Listen, if he recognizes that there's traction or there's ratings or that he's poked the bear, he'll stay with it. He went after Shaquille O'Neal in the early years. Like, Shaquille O'Neal didn't realize that this was entertainment and was literally getting pissed off and looked as though he wanted to throw blows at Shaq. Shaq would go like...
It's on Inside the NBA?
Inside the NBA. He would, and Shaq literally was, you could see, and that's what made it such must-see television, is because it was a reality show that was unfolding in front of our very eyes where Shaq didn't understand. Now he gets a little bit better.
Well, he's really good at poking fun at Chuck now. His go-to is simple. Hey, Chuck, you know, where are your rings at? Like, but that's getting into it, though, and I like that. I enjoy that.
Yeah, and I remember when Charles, somebody asked him about his favorite movie or someone got into acting, and he said Shazam, which was just like the worst movie ever. And it was
the one that Shaq did, right?
Shaq got so pissed off. You could just see that I would love to have seen. They should have kept the cameras rolling during the break because something had to be said or he had to be restrained because it was real back in the day. But that's Shaq. Shaq lives in that moment. He recognizes that it's something that's getting feedback.
He's leaning into it now. And Shaq has the perfect person. They had the perfect personality for each other in that sense, and just how they both are able to kind of like troll each other and take shots at each other. And they do it perfectly. And for me, like, I look, it's shtick. Like, hearing Chuck say what he had to say, you know, about the city of San Francisco yesterday, you know, admitting it's like, wow, they work really hard down there at Glide, and I'm gonna put my money where my mouth is and help them out. Like, you know, I'm not gonna say that excuses some of everything that he says. You know, he's still a villain, but it's like there's a human element to this, and that's why I'm able to kind of take the shtick that Chuck throws at the Warriors, is because I know at the end of the day, that's not like a true representation of him in the city or his view towards the city. So to speak, this is just how I read it. I mean, I could be totally wrong, and he actually does think these awful things about the city, and, you know, the check never really did show up, and Glide's going to be very surprised tomorrow when there's no money in the account, which we'll find that out if that happens or not. But yeah, it's... Listen, if you're gonna talk that talk and throw that shade when times are good, but you kind of rise up when the moment requires it, yeah, I'll roll with it. And that's why Charles Barkley is one of my favorite Warrior haters.
I think he
plays the role so well.
And I think at the end of the day, he's a good guy. I think when no one's looking, he does the right thing.
When the cameras aren't on him. Yeah.
But this whole thing...
I love how he has to bring that up, too.
Yeah, well, that's
he's
just
He's
got
to put some pomp and circumstance on
it. The whole Glide thing, that wasn't Shaq's idea. Somebody came up to him with TNT and said, look, when you go to San Francisco, this is what we're going to have you do. It's a PR move. And TNT maybe even wrote the check. I don't know. But it's... I do think that Shaq's a good guy, but I don't think that, you know, he's somebody that came up with the idea of, I'm going to go over to Glide. This is all sort of orchestrated from up above.
Well,
we
have Daniel Lurie, the mayor of San Francisco. He's becoming a somewhat of a regular on the morning roast now. And we had him on, we talked about this with him because he's obviously, I mean, he's taken over a city that needs a lot. And, you know, we talk about 6th and you know, 6th Street heading up to Market a lot. You know, it's a little rough there. And, you know, Daniel Lurie, he's aware of the issues that this city needs, but he's also aware of how great this city is, too, and how many great areas are in the city. This weekend, Dan, I was staying out at my friend's place. Him and his wife, they live out in the Richmond district.
Oh, okay.
And
know it well.
Yeah. And
where were you exactly?
What's that?
Where were you exactly?
Outer Richmond on Lincoln right by the park. Might be Sunset, actually.
Yeah. No, you're yeah. That's Richmond.
It's yeah, Richmond, okay. I don't know if Sunset's the one that's next to the park or it's not. I know it's Sunset.
Oh, wait, you're on the other side of the park. Yeah, so Fulton, I would say, is Richmond. Once you go on the other side of the park, you're technically
like,
Sunset.
It was the road that goes along the park.
Lincoln.
Yeah, Lincoln. Yeah, it's on Lincoln right around 20th
Street. And Lincoln and 9th has some amazing shops and sushi, burrito.
It's a really cool neighborhood down there. It's like you got all the little houses there. And then you got a bar, a shop there as well. It's really well integrated with the neighborhood. And we're just kind of walking around the neighborhood last night. And you look around, it's a beautiful neighborhood. You know, it's hard to believe that this is the same San Francisco that people have to dog on all the time. But really, when people talk about the ugliness of San Francisco, and there is an ugly side to it, you're talking about four or five different spots in the city that get 80% of the attention. You know, it's the old 80-20 rule. In 80% of the city is completely ignored, and just a small fraction of the city is what we focus on here. But there's so much beauty in the city, and we had Mayor Lurie on, and he wanted to talk about how, and I don't know if he got a chance to do this, I don't think he did, but he wanted to drive around with Chuck and just be like, look at this, look at that, look how great it is here, and just show him firsthand how great this city is, because the truth is, San Francisco, the warts it has are no different than the warts that LA has, or Seattle has, or Miami has, or New York has, or Chicago has, or Dallas has. It's a common thing. And I think for Charles Barkley to kind of take a step back for a second and acknowledge that, I can respect that move there a little bit.
Yeah, the homeless issue, which is not something that I'm ready to tackle, but it's real, but it's real in every big West Coast city. Okay. And this goes back to, I read an article about the opium dens back in the day and how that sort of created and brought a lot of this sort of behavior, which has gone on, and how you solve it, no one really knows. I mean, it's so much more challenging and so much more layered, and I certainly, neither do you, either one of us wants to go down that road and try to take on that issue. That's a huge undertaking. But
8-8-8-9-5-7-9-5-7.
But I would say this, is that, hey, look, man, it's like those people that like to surf. People that know, what's up in San Francisco. People that are well-adjusted, what San Francisco provides. If you want to move to San Francisco, you know why you're moving there. It's because of the fact, the quality of life, the people. It's one of the most, I put it maybe next to Paris in terms of the most picturesque cities in the world. You don't need to PR this. Like, Lurie doesn't need to go drive anyone around. It's almost like the analogy I make with a surf spot. It's like, you don't want to go to San Francisco, that's fine. Because our housing issue is problematic in and of itself. Like, stay away. It's fine. That's right. Yeah, go somewhere else. But people in the know what's up with San Francisco. We don't need to sell this on anybody.
No,
it's SF, for crying out loud, at the end of the day.
Yeah. And again, the people in Seattle, the people in Miami, and all those other cities, it's the same thing for there. So, Dan, no, I'm not going to sit here and ask us to solve the housing and the homelessness problem.
Yeah, how the hell did we go down this road?
We were talking about Charles Barkley a little bit. No, I'm not asking to fix that. Let's fix All-Star Saturday Night instead. Because
I thought I did that off the top of the show.
Well, you had a great idea as well. I'm curious if anyone else has a suggestion for All-Star Saturday Night to make it more exciting. So call in for that, 888-957-9570. And so I want to hear, what's your fix for All-Star Saturday Night? Because it clearly needs some sort of fixing. You can't just be banking on Matt McClellan.
95-7 the game, breaking news.
What's going on, Cam?
So apparently LeBron James is not going to play in tonight's All-Star.
What?
Yeah, he's citing that he has ankle and foot discomfort.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty significant. That means no fight between LeBron and Zach Edey to open things up here. Yeah, I heard you get in my ear there, Cam. I was like, I didn't hear what he said. I hope it wasn't important. No, that ended up being pretty important. So, wow, that's ankle and foot issues for LeBron. So he can't even, go on the court for, a minute or so tonight?
You have the article in front of you, Sam?
I'm looking for it right now.
I just found one of our tweets just now from 95.7 The Game. They didn't go into full detail yet.
Yeah, Clutch Points is saying it right now. Or Clutch Points tweeting it right now. He's at the podium. So, Cam, I'm going to send this sound to you, and I'll have you pull it. We can hear We're doing live producing on air right now. This is how the sausage is made, folks.
We're breaking news.
Cam, I sent you some
about.
Stuff. If you could pull that, LeBron saying that he's not going to be playing tonight, we'll get that. Wow, does that do anything to the line? Right now, the line, by the way, Candace versus Team Shaq is Shaq -6.5. I don't know. First off, who's betting on the NBA All-Star
game? Get help
game?
If you are. Do we have an 800 number if you're betting on the game?
The over-under 73.5. So hopefully someone actually isn't betting on the All-Star game. I mean, there are people who do that. Our board op on the morning roast, Carter Chickering, he had money on the Gatorade being, I think, blue during the Super Bowl. So the coin toss happens, right? And so it comes up, I think it came up tails or something. Get a text from Carter in our group thread. Oh, I just lost a bunch of money. We've had some incredible gamblers.
Pride of Stuart Hall. I love
that. We have had some gamblers come through this building. Long ago, there was the great Ryan Mauser, who I think he's working with Toast right now. But I remember when I first started working here, you know, he was kind of the producer who kind of showed me the ropes here of how things work. And he would tell me about the betting that he would do. And this is during the pandemic when there were no sports. So he's like, yeah, I was up last night looking for some Israeli basketball games to throw money on. And I was like, dude, come on, man. What are we doing here? But one thing we're not going to be doing here tonight.
Well,
is
you know,
watching-
on a serious note, is that they're thinking of doing away with the prop bets in the NBA, because I don't know if you saw this. Well, Terry Rozier got in some trouble, and he's under investigation. So a lot of that, you can bet on who's going to win or lose or over and under, but when you start getting into personal and whether a guy, how many threes he hits, how many points he scores, it can get a little dicey.
Yeah, sure. Maybe, Cam, if you can look this up, what were the odds that LeBron James would be out for tonight? If we can maybe find that and see who was betting on that. I don't know. Maybe that's...
You think there was a line on that? I hope not.
I feel like you could bet on everything, you know? When the Super Bowl last year in Las Vegas, the guy who ran onto the field, there was a streaker during the game, I think like the third quarter or something. That guy put money, he put like 10 grand on will there be a streaker. And so he puts the money on will there be a streaker. Then he goes to streaks at the field. So he won his own bet. And okay, you got to pay $1,000 to get out of jail after the night, but that's chump change compared to the money he brought home. So, yeah, no, maybe that's actually a good idea to get rid of some of these profits. But like, I don't know how you would regulate that, though.
Getting back to Shaquille O'Neal, I think that this really gets back to sort of what it is that we were talking about, how the stars are mailing it in. And now you have LeBron James not even playing. You mean to tell me you couldn't diagnose this previously? Now, maybe that's why I'm asking if there's a story. Maybe something happened in practice.
Why are we finding out this now? Yeah.
Did something flare up in practice yesterday? I mean, but this is exactly what it is that we're talking about, is that they don't care. You know what it is that he came here like a business trip, did what it is that he had to do.
Business trip.
And that's he went to his sponsorships. He went to his shoe deals. He made sure that he shook hands, kissed babies. Mm-hmm. And now he's on his private jet getting the hell out of town. That I don't know that as a fact.
That's not, yeah, but we talked earlier about setting a tone. I mean, I don't know if that's a, you could say, I don't know if it's a fact, but the fact of the matter is, Dan, like that is what his weekend will entail. He came here, he shook some hands, kissed some babies, took some photos, and he'll be there tonight. He'll be wearing an outfit that costs more than the house that I live in or the house that you live in combined. And then he's going to peace out. He's going to go somewhere with a beach for a few days. And then he's going to go play some more basketball with Luka Doncic. Like, that's what LeBron James is doing during the All-Star Week. And this seems kind of crazy because he is 40 years old. This is his 20th All-Star game. Dan, he has spent more of his life in the NBA than not in the NBA. Remember, he entered the league when he was 18 years old, and he's been playing in this league for 22 years. Mm. So literally over 50% of his life has been on the court at the NBA. So there is a part of me that's just like, at 40 years old, at his level of greatness, like, yeah, if you need to take a step back, I get that. But at the same time, like, you are the face of the league. There is, I think, an extra level that comes with that. So I would have liked to have learned earlier that LeBron was not going to be playing. I don't know, maybe he wanted to gut it out and see if he could do it. But finding out about, you know, hour and a half prior to Team Kenny and Team Chuck tipping off that the biggest name of the All-Star weekend, essentially, or second biggest name, or tied for first. No disrespect to Steph there. Sorry, Warrior fans. Yeah, that's frustrating. On top of the fact, Dan, that are we even sure how many minutes Steph is going to be playing tonight?
Well, we talked about Steph Curry, how he's such a good ambassador and embraces that role as a basketball player. And this apparently is something that's lost on LeBron James, because you talked about how he's the elder statesman in the face of the league. I'm surprised that there wasn't a conversation that was had between him and Silver, or at least he should be aware that ratings have been an issue, viewership's on the decline. We need you in games like this. I just talked about how the players have to suck it up, because that is the lifeline. That's what's providing you all the opportunity. And listen, go get yours. You want to make $55, $60 million? Hey, listen, it's all about supply and demand. Hell yeah, get your money, because people are shelling it out to see you. But don't mess with the consumer. And so I'm surprised that a guy at age 40 who is the face of the league doesn't recognize that he needs to be here and he needs to play. Even
and not
for
just on the sideline, you know, sitting and smiling with his sunglasses on. Here's your new prop bet. What are the odds LeBron's wearing sunglasses the entire game?
Yeah.
I gave you yes, minus 150, no, plus 150. I'm not a big gambler, so I don't know if I set that up right, but
yeah. I like the I take the money line on that, the plus 150.
Yeah, he's probably but yeah, it's just not a great look. And I did not expect Steph to be playing a whole lot this weekend. I mean, he's got the bilateral knee issues, and he's been playing a lot of basketball this last week and a half. I mean, he had a back-to-back in Utah and then LA the next night, and he played both of those games, and I was shocked that he played that Utah game. When they suited him up there, I'm like, oh, so was he not playing the Laker game? And then he played in the Laker game, and then he had to back-to-back this week in Dallas, which was an absolute grind of a game, that one, that the Warriors fumbled away late there. And I'm thinking, well, they're going to lose in Houston tomorrow because Steph ain't going to play, Draymond ain't going to play. And shockingly enough, Anthony Slater sends the tweet out, yeah, we expect everyone to be playing, and which surprised me. And we had Slater on Friday, and he mentioned that, you know, the part of that reason was the Warriors feel like Steph is in a good enough place right now where they feel comfortable playing him on back-to-backs. At the same time, this guy's 36 years old, is also played forever. Steph's first year in the NBA, the year had two zeros in it in the middle. Like, 2009 was his first year in the NBA. Like, it has been a long time that Steph has been playing. A lot of mileage on those legs, and even more so because, Dan, you know how much he runs during these games. So I was kind of coming into this tonight expecting maybe like 2-3 minutes from Steph. I wonder if this maybe means he's going to have to play a few more minutes.
He's going to have to play a little bit more than that. And same with LeBron. Look, I get it. I understand. Yet. It's about the regular season. But an exhibition game, and you're not playing for a whole week, I think you can give us a little bit more than that. I think he needs it because he's the hometown kid. He's got to play much more than that. And the fact that LeBron, I mean, this doesn't bode well. This really doesn't. I mean, once we digest this and it sinks in, and I'm sure tomorrow morning you guys can do the deep dive, but this doesn't reflect well on LeBron, which is why I'm curious as to whether or not it's a legitimate injury. I doubt it, but this is exactly the issue that the NBA is trying to avoid. So why at the 25th hour he would do this is really peculiar.
I agree with you wholeheartedly there. 510 with an interesting little nugget here. LeBron was not at the All-Star practice yesterday. Didn't show up. No one even announced that he didn't show up. So, wow, pretty surprising there. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about someone who did show up to the All-Star practice, though, at Oracle Arena, and that was Kevin Durant. Dan, Kevin Durant said something earlier this week that caught my attention. I want to play the sound for you. We'll talk about it a little bit. No LeBron James in the NBA All-Star game. Does that mean it's wide open for Steph Curry to win the MVP? I mean, if
it means it's wide open for you to hate him once again.
There you go. We have more, as if we needed more reasons to hate LeBron James. So I am Sam Lubman. He is Dan Devone. Cameron Williams is going to send us to break in just a moment after I do the read. And the read is that we are brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.